This week on Prepping 2.0.
Space aliens invading the Earth, comet strikes, dinosaurs being reanimated and coming to life, Godzilla. You can come up with a lot of scenarios. One thing they all have in common is, in order to get through them, you got to drink water.
When disaster strikes, will you be prepared? This is Prepping 2.0 with authors and prepping experts, Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
Online at prepping2-0.com.
Get ready. Prepping 2.0 coming in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, everyone. This is Shelby Gallagher over here at Prepping 2.0, joined by my co-host on the show and co-host in life, Glenn Tate.
We give you what you want here, and you guys love shows that answer Patreon's questions, so that's what you're going to get today. We have some great topics in these questions, and as always, remember, the only thing harder than planning for a disaster is explaining why you didn't. And speaking of preparing for a disaster, Shelby, what would you like to tell the folks?
Oh, Pro One water filters. You can find them over at our website, prepping2-0.com. Click on friends and affiliates, and you'll see their logo there. You'll see a coupon code there. As you'll listen through today's show, you'll hear a couple of questions about water, water filtration, water storage, water this, water that. The first place you should check out is Pro One water filters. They have anywhere from your kind of backpacking sort of setup all the way to home filtering systems for your preps.
Top 100 items that disappear first. This is a list from Bosnia survivors. It is available on our website, prepping2-0.com, under the appropriately titled heading, Top 100 List of Things. Today, we're looking at number 54, which is tarps and stakes slash spikes and twine slash rope. Shelby, why do you think tarps and stakes and twine would be in short supply when there's a disaster?
Well, honestly, those are typically things that are great for building a temporary shelter. They're also used for all kinds of just building things. If you need to cover over something, if you need to bury something, if you need shelter from something, if you need shelter from storms or whatever, those are all good things to have in your preps for sure.
Here's what you missed from a recent after show if you're not a Patreon.
She's called the Appalachian Forager, and you've heard me talk about her. And she has these really quick shorts on YouTube where she makes really quick, here's how I make a quick tincture of this. Here's how I make a quick tea of this. She does a lot of wild mushroom foraging. Won't be doing that. But she's also the one that kind of got me interested in growing my own mushrooms when I saw her do it.
Come on, admit it. You're just a little bit curious on what the quote page segment is, where we read funny quotes that Shelby and I have actually said to each other, and you get to guess the context, which is not always easy to guess. Patreons get to hear it in the after show. It's just $2 a month. Go to prepping2-0.com and click on the Patreon button. Or just go on the Googles and search for Prepping 2.0 and Patreon. Announcements. Food Preps 2.0. Our Food Preps book flying off the shelves. It is available, and there's more information about it at our website called, believe it or not, foodpreps2-0.com. Shelby, where can folks get an autographed copy of the book?
You can start prepping2-0.com. The link to foodpreps2-0.com is on our website. But if you jump over to the shop page and you want to pick up a copy that's autographed by us, certainly you can do that. We just throw in a couple extra bucks there just to cover our shipping. But yeah, we'd love to get that to you, especially as, I don't know, gift-giving season's coming up, summer's coming up, people are going to be gardening and
Graduation gifts,
absolutely.
That's right.
So there's two ways, go straight to Amazon or go straight to our website over to the shop page.
Patreons never seem to run out of questions to ask us, and they never seem to end their quest to entertain you in the process, because the questions they ask are, first of all, interesting, and second of all, might be a question that you have in your mind too. So let's get right into the questions. Shelby, start us off with question number one.
From Ray Jensen, he asks, have you seen the new trailer for the Civil War movie, and do you think it could actually happen? Sadly, no. We're not movie.
No, we haven't seen the trailer is what she means.
Yeah, we haven't seen the trailer or the movie. And yeah. So sorry. And I know there's lots of opinions out there on it. And we don't want to start off giving you a crazy whatever. Yeah.
Like people that have all kinds of opinions about the book Shelby and I have written, but have never read them. And this is not directed at anybody in this audience.
Right.
This is directed at other people. So the question, though, I think Ray is getting at is, could it actually happen? Yeah, I guess it could. As you guys that are longtime listeners may or may not remember, we did a show probably a year ago in which we came to the somewhat unpopular conclusion that we don't think a civil war is as eminent as it once appeared. In 2020, and of course, hindsight is 2020, before we knew what was going to happen or not happen, I think it was very rational to think there was, I don't know about a civil war, because I hate that term because it means such grandiose things to so many people. Mm-hmm. And my running philosophy is the more dramatic something is, the less likely it is to occur. And a civil war is very dramatic and therefore less likely to occur than, you know, disruptions or breakdowns or civil disobedience or something like that. So it was unpopular. A lot of people wanted us to say, yeah, there's going to be a civil war tomorrow, so get in your basement and load magazines and get a gas mask. And that's not how we do it. No. We don't fearmonger. We don't clickbait. So yes, it is possible there could be a civil war. But as I say, not only a year ago did we think it was decreasingly likely, I think that trend has continued and it's even more decreasingly likely. And one of the main reasons I'll give for that is that while the Democrats will try to cheat, obviously, we know that, I think that if you look at some of the polling, it has consistently trended Donald Trump's way. And the reason I bring that up is, yes, of course, the left can freak out and do all kinds of violence when Donald Trump wins. But the reason I'm encouraged there's less of a likelihood of a civil war is that so many people have concluded that the Democrats are just a train wreck. And specifically, all kinds of minority groups are increasingly trending towards Donald Trump, which I think is fabulous because the left then cannot use them as, you know, foot soldiers or whatever and just completely take advantage of them. So I'm very encouraged by the basic trend in public opinion. And there we have it. And Shelby has some thoughts on this.
Also, when we did that show, just if this helps out too, it was more of a comparison to current times, to the election year 2020, when the left was losing their ever-living minds, that Donald Trump had the word president in front of his name and was doing everything to get rid of him. And they did. They
cheated.
They hosted a worldwide pandemic. They set a lot of amazing cities all over the country on fire, started racially based riots, and cheated. So I don't see them doing that. Those things always seem to happen during election years. We're in an election year right now, and what is happening is pretty amazing. And Glenn just hit on that. The minority groups that the left has always been able to bank on. Take advantage of, give them a message that's not working this year at all by the, by huge numbers. They're not able to defend the current presidency because of its massive failures. So I think they're too busy right now to foment the kind of garbage that they were fomenting in 2020. So that's where we come to the conclusion the likelihood is much lower to have any of those serious events that we really don't want. Ask anyone. We've said it multiple times on the show. We've had multiple experts that have been in other countries with civil war, and they will tell you this is not something you want. And
you
we don't
do
want it.
Work.
And we enjoy the fact that we're saying the likelihood, especially compared to 2020, when things were super spicy, seem much less likely. Now, things are not normal right now.
No.
But they're not as violent and out of control, as inflamed as they were, I think, in 2020.
And one of the things we would tell people is to pay attention to trends and possible threats. Yes, pay attention to it, but don't obsess. We're not saying that Ray is obsessing on this, but it's just general advice. Don't obsess on a particular scenario. I said threat, I should have said scenario. Because if you think endlessly about a particular scenario, like a nuclear accident or something like that, you're going to focus on the specifics of that particular disaster, and you're not going to do all the other stuff that is simultaneously helpful for any kind of disaster. Having food, having water, those sorts of things apply to every kind of disaster or disruption or scenario. And so focus on the practical stuff. Focus on the basics of prepping. And if you want to think about particular scenarios because it's entertaining and intellectually stimulating, by all means, but don't let the scenario, some specific scenario, drive how you prepare. Prepare for all kinds of disruptions because the odds of a civil war are X percent. And the odds of there being a disruption is higher than X. And so prepare for the effects and not the particular scenario.
So here's an interesting thing. When I was interviewed recently with Brian Duff over at Mind for Survival, we talked about how what you were just saying, we prepare for like the worst case scenario. And in our minds, we think about what the worst case scenario is. When what is more likely to happen is something not quite so sexy and widespread. Mm-hmm. For example, just this last week in Ohio, E1, E2, E3 tornadoes went through. Several people died. Animals didn't make it. Those people right now are in their worst collapse. Mm-hmm. I think more and more we need to start thinking about what is more likely. More likely, honestly, mm-hmm. is a natural disaster. Where we live, the natural disaster most likely will be fire. Other people in other parts of the country, that's the hurricanes, it's the tornadoes, it's the weather, it's the natural disaster. So be prepared for everything and just do your best, right?
Exactly. Our next question comes from Joe McDonald, who says, for those of us living in the South, what do you think is the maximum temperature your food prep, such as canned foods and freeze-dried foods, can be stored at? 75 degrees, 80 degrees, 85. Shelby, take it away.
So I looked it up.
You did?
I did.
Wow.
So
normally we just make stuff up.
And I found an extension service out there that says, recommends 85 degrees. Now, all of us are going to stop and go, well, crud, I got to throw all my stuff out. No, you don't. Our stuff has survived over 85.
85 meaning the maximum.
85 the maximum. Rotate your stuff every year. Otherwise, it's going to go bad. You know, this is government talking. We've had that discussion with many people, with many experts. We've looked it up. We've done our own anecdotal experiment. I would say try to keep it like within the 85, no higher than 85 degree. But I'll tell you what, we live in a place that has extreme cold and extreme hot. We still have our canned goods. Keep them in shelter and do your best to keep it moderated and rotate your stuff.
Typically, if food is kept in a higher temperature area than is ideal, it just leads to degradation of taste and texture and stuff like that. And it's still edible. If you get to extreme high or low temperatures, it can burst a can, for example, or a glass. If you're home canning, you can have a burst glass situation. So it's still good. And I can add to this some very general thoughts. I believe off the top of my head, the package that MREs come in, the box, the case of 12, that's made out of the toughest cardboard on the face of the earth. I swear it doubles as a bulletproof vest. That cardboard is amazing.
It's right up there with the Kevlar, huh?
Yeah. It says keep below 70 degrees. So I don't know what that tells you. I guess that's just sort of an ideal thing. I know that when folks in the military were in some desert climates for extended periods of time, they weren't able to keep MREs below 70. And I don't remember hearing about any service members dying of botulism. So it's not a life or death thing. I think it would be economically unwise, by the way, I'm not suggesting that Joe is suggesting this, to outfit a shed with a refrigeration unit to keep your food below that temperature, because refrigeration costs multiples of what the food costs. And if you were that worried about it, although you need not be, you could throw the food out once a year and restock it and still save on the cost versus having refrigeration. So it's a factor. It's not the be all and end all.
Yeah. So, and rotate your stuff is just always a general good rule. So let's take a quick break and give an awesome shout out to our wonderful sponsors that keep the lights on and keep this thing going over here at Prepping 2.0. You can find all of them at our website, prepping2-0.com. Click on friends and affiliates. And over there, you will find survival garden seeds. Boy, howdy, folks. Get your seeds ready. I know I've been breaking into my collection. KD Armor stands for Come and Take It Armor. Backwoods Home Magazine. Find all kinds of great homesteading and prepping projects there. New Mana Food specializes in freeze-dried bulk foods. Paul Burke, you can find him at paulburkeidhomesearch.net as well. Gibbs Arms, and of course, the one who makes us sound so good over at Podcast Access, Andy, our producer. And you can dip into his awesome services.
You too can start a podcast if you have an awesome producer like Andy. Well, our next one is from Moses Thompson. And why don't you read that for us?
Sure. Moses asked, would y'all ever plan on doing an episode of what your opinion of the highest likely SHTF nationwide moment would be? I do remember an episode where you spoke of it, especially during the Chop Chaz fiasco. By the way, that was 2020, what I was speaking about earlier, and wanted to see how your location has changed your thoughts and preparations for an SHTF event. BTW, by the way. Thanks for a great show that keeps me coming back every week and giving me plans to write my own book. Oh awesome. Super. That's great, Moses.
That's so super. So we'll take this in pieces. An opinion of the highest likely SHTF nationwide moment. That gets back to that scenario topic I was talking about earlier. It would be hard to do one that was sort of the scenario of the week because we don't know, and there's nothing that makes a grid attack more likely than an EMP in any particular week. I'm not sure that's what Moses had in mind, probably not. But you raise a fantastic point, Moses, when you say you wanted to see how our location has changed our thoughts about an SHTF event. It most certainly has.
Absolutely.
And in hindsight, which I rarely look to, I have this weird part of my personality where, and I'm bad at a variety of things, but one thing I'm really good at is not beating myself up with hindsight. I don't know why, but I just don't do it. So looking at the hindsight back to 2020, I can easily say, the fact that we lived in Washington State in 2020 amped up our concerns.
Holy buckets.
Our concerns,
oh my gosh,
because
yeah.
It was very real. We were surrounded by people that really hated us and were apparently given carte blanche to violate a bunch of laws. That's a scary scenario.
We were doxxed.
Yeah, we were doxxed. It was not pretty. So, yes, living in Montana has mellowed us out. Candidly,
it has. It mm-hmm. does not take away our concern that there could be collapse. I mean, inflation has hit where we are. Prices has hit where we are. We are not insulated from it.
Right.
But if Antifa comes to Western Montana,
they're going to be lonely.
There's several layers of neighbors and good folks here that just don't put up with that. In red states, you'll find that as a general rule, Antifa doesn't go there because they know they're outnumbered and the laws and people don't tolerate that.
And this is a great example of why I was saying, don't get too caught up in a particular scenario, because that scenario may not apply where you live. Antifa, as the scenario, is very valid in Washington State, and it's not valid. I mean, it's just not a problem here in Montana. So yeah, we've mellowed out. However, you'll note by mellowing out, we have not stopped doing anything. In fact, we are working on long-term sustainability.
Absolutely.
We are working on growing our own food and preserving food and all of those other things. So we still realize there will be a disruption of some kind. Could be hyperinflation, could be a variety of things, but we're not focused on a particular scenario.
Absolutely. The other thing, though, too, when we got here and we settled in, we kind of did real basic kind of recon, like what are our neighbors like? Who's all around mm-hmm. us? It's
night and day.
Night and day. And I want to say that, and we've said it several ways, several times. It is amazing to know that we live around people that are like, yeah, if things go really south in this country, we're going to organize and we're going to protect the homeland, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that was not the case in Western Washington, where it's like, oh, okay, then we'll give up the homeland, really. And you're going with it. It was just, we feel 1,000 times safer. We feel 1,000 times more settled and less on edge. It's that whole, when you're in a war zone and you're on constant edge, I mean, that's an extreme example, but you're always on edge, like your head's on a swivel. Not here. We good.
Nope.
So what's next, Glenn?
Barrett Runyon asks a very direct and simple question. What are your recommendations for storing water?
We discovered, as we've read through these questions, we have a new assistant.
Oh, who's that?
DeBoz 57.
Tell me about that.
DeBoz 57 on several of these has kind of jumped in and kind of answered the question for us in a really sweet and kind way. So mm-hmm. do we want to read his response?
Sure, because then we won't have to say stuff that may be inaccurate.
So he says, and this is what we would say, see episode 264. Can I just say that is an anchor episode?
Mm-hmm.
There's several times we've updated episodes. We've gone back and done them again and given some.
Rebroadcast.
We've rebroadcasted that one. But this one's so good. It is worth going back and listening to. It was chock full of information. So that's what he's talking about.
So continue, please.
Yes. See episode 264 for the podcast of the content described in the link below. He puts a link up. Take heed of what Glenn mentions about the 6-gallon jerry can style water jugs with the big screw on caps. They really do work well for collecting water from places like streams or lakes. I've been using the Aquatainer 7-gallon stackable cube-shaped jugs for years now, and they've been great. They come with their own spigots that store internally. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. They are on sale on Amazon currently for $16. Walmart will also match their own price of $15 in store if you prefer to just grab them there. And then he gives the Patreon post that has, I believe, the document that is spoken about in that episode. I mean, DeBoz, thank you so much. Our job here is done.
Yes, I would add to this, and we probably mentioned it in episode 264, which I believe was a rebroadcast of episode 92, which was our original water episode. One thing to think about when it comes to storing water is it's even more important to rotate. Water doesn't last forever. There are water preservatives, believe it or not, preservatives that keep water fresh and scum-free. But you really need to rotate your water because water doesn't last. I mean, it's probably not going to kill you, but it's probably going to taste gross after a couple years. And here's the cool thing. It's super easy to rotate water because why? You just fill it up with more. If you're rotating your food, you're either eating your food or, heaven forbid, throwing it out. That's not a thing with water. If anything, you're just kind of spilling it out and refilling it.
Watering the plant. Yeah. Water will not degrade the container it is in well.
Right.
Exactly.
Exactly. So, yeah. And we are huge believers in the importance of water. You could come up with, you know, space aliens invading the Earth, comet strikes, dinosaurs being reanimated and coming to life, Godzilla. You can come up with a lot of scenarios. One thing and they all have in common is in order to get through them, you got to drink water.
Absolutely. So the next one, Keith Jones asks, what application do you use to track your food stores and print labels? I have access to an application like QuickBase through work, but have not found anything for labels I like. Thanks. DeBoz jumps in. DeBoz57 says, you'll find that Shelby uses Sortly and OrcaScan. In the Patreon link below, you'll find some of the other ways you can track their inventories. I'm just beginning to use Inventory Wolf for preppers, but so far, so good. So thank you, DeBoz57 and Keith for a great question. I still use Sortly. Mm-hmm. I like Sortly because you can generate. So here's your example. I make a batch of salsa. Mm-hmm. And so I want to inventory it. I can create a label that has a QR code that when I scan it, it'll scan that into Sortly. So I can say, I have 69 bottles, jars of this salsa. Now, what if I buy a case of a branded, you know, I don't know, Taqueria salsa from the store? I can scan that barcode and do the same thing. Mm-hmm. I like Sortly for that. Sortly has changed a little bit over the years and doesn't so much have a home version anymore. OrcaScan does, and they do have labels. The last I checked, both of them will cost you. We pay for
$60 a year.
Yeah,
we
pay for it. I know that since I've started using Sortly, there's other like more prepping based ones, probably like what DeBoz recommends, that are more prepping focused instead of just like store inventory. Sortly is more for honestly retail sorts of establishments with huge inventories. But yeah, look for ones that you can make a QR code or a code for yourself so that when we buy, like when we go buy something, scan, 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 boom, in, done.
Another feature that I think is very handy for whatever app it is that you use is the ability to print out on paper or PDFs, I guess, an inventory book. And Sortly, and I'm sure most others do this too, but I'm familiar with Sortly, you can configure it very easily. It's so easy, even Glenn can do it. And it'll have a picture of whatever it is, which is kind of key because you may not be the only one needing to look at this. And let's be honest, I mean, not everyone speaks English or little kids don't read. They can find a picture of a can of pears. It's got all the information, the number of the units you have, what tub or whatever, what shelf they're on, when the expiration date is, the best buy date, not the expiration date, and all kinds of stuff. And then when you use one of the 24, let's say that you have, and you know you have 24 because of the printout, you can keep inventory that way, scan it, and it'll say remove one, and now it shows that you have 23. So consider the printout feature because you got to have hard copies of everything because electronic may not always be there.
We have to take a quick break. Don't go away. We have so many more Patreon questions on the other side of the break.
More Prepping 2.0 with authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher is coming right up. Hear all our previous shows free online at prepping2-0.com. Without water, you're done in 3 days. Pro One Water Filters. It's literally a matter of life and wet. Pro One G2.0 all-in-one gravity systems are NSF ANSI 42 component certified.
Not everybody can say that.
No need for additional add-on filters to reduce fluoride. Pro One stainless gravity systems include a stainless steel spigot and a countertop stand for no additional cost. Pro One Water Filter Gravity Systems. Check them out at ProOneUSA.com. That's ProOneUSA.com. Most tested, most trusted.
Prepping 2.0 is about that next level of prepping. One of the key 2.0 items to have is bulletproof body armor plates. I used to think body armor was too tactical for a regular guy like me, but it isn't. Give yourself, your family, and your team an unfair advantage when bullets are flying. Body armor used to be expensive and hard to get. Not anymore. KD Armor, and that stands for come and take it, makes solid and affordable body armor for normal people. Get body armor while you can. The clowns in Congress are trying to prohibit future sales. KD Armor is the place to get it. CATIArmor.com. Prepping 2.0 listeners get a 10% discount when you use the coupon code GRANT.
When the grid goes down, darkness will descend fast. Used to be there was nothing you could do about an EMP, electromagnetic pulse, or CME, coronal mass ejection. Now you can protect your electronics, protect your family, thanks to EMP Shield. EMP Shield invented a simple-to-install device that prevents whatever's connected to it from frying in an EMP or CME, and it costs just a few $100. EMP Shield has been tested by independent laboratories and passed muster with the government, which has ordered lots of them. Google EMP Shield and see for yourself. And save some money. Get a $50 discount per device. Go to prepping2-0.com. Click on the Friends and Affiliates page, then click on the EMP Shield logo. At checkout, use coupon code prepping2.0. It's all one word.
Shelby Gallagher here. We found that you need to layer your food preps.
Yeah, this is Glenn Tate here. A lot of times the hardest part of layering is the long-term foods. We love Numana foods, which have a 25-year shelf life and are non-GMO. Also, organic meals are available.
Numana comes in family-style portions and in bulk. This is not backpacking food. It's family meals that last for at least 25 years. The perfect freeze-dried part of your food layering.
You can get a sample of Numana meals for $19.95 and see for yourself. You will be amazed.
Prepping 2.0 listeners get a 10% discount by entering the code PREP.
Go to Numana.com or click the link on the Prepping 2.0 website.
Give it a try. Numana.com. That is N-U-M-A-N-N-A.com.
Are you a prepper or homesteader looking to connect with like-minded people in your area? Looking to start your own preparedness group? Already have a group? Well, look no further than PrepperNet. PrepperNet is dedicated to personal responsibility, individual freedoms, and being self-reliant. PrepperNet has monthly meetings in over 100 cities where you can meet and learn with like-minded people in your area. PrepperNet, where preppers unite. Find us online at PrepperNet.com.
In a tactical situation, your AR is your life. Gibbs Arms makes a sweet feature, the only side charger that can use a standard bolt carrier group with no modification. Gibbs makes them in 9mm, 5.56, and 308. In fact, Gibbs Arms has been granted 8 patents for unique innovations. The company started back in 2008 when two Boeing engineers realized no one else made what they wanted. Take a look at their website and see all the ways Gibbs Arms can help you mod your AR. Gibbs with a Z, arms.com. That's GIBBZARMS.com.
Now, more of Prepping 2.0 with authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
Thanks for rejoining us. We're truly just getting started with our answers to Patreon's questions. For even more, though, be sure to stick around for the after show if you're a Patreon supporter.
There are very few technological items that can solve one of your prepping problems, and one of those exceptions is EMP Shield. It is a device that works for real, that you wire into your house or your car or your generator or your ham radio setup, that will EMP proof it. And it's magnificent. You should utilize technology that's available. It is not cheating to have technological workarounds for various problems. So after saying you should not focus on a particular scenario, I'm going to say that if you want to check the EMP scenario box on your preps after you're doing all the other stuff you need to do, food and water and everything else, really consider getting yourself an EMP shield unit. We have a coupon code if you click onto our website, prepping2-0.com, friends and affiliates, and you look for the EMP shield logo. You click on that, you're automatically in on a very significant discount. Well, I wanted to do the archive dive and tell you folks about previous episodes because we have so many new listeners. Thank you, new listeners. You may not know about some of the cool stuff we did in the past. Like, I don't know, how about March of 2021, 3 years ago, we did episode 126, which was on hyperinflation. You know, in March of 2021, a lot of people didn't even know what the term hyperinflation meant. Now, to be candid, what we have with Bidenflation is not hyperinflation. Hyperinflation is like Argentina.
Well, and we're sitting here going, gosh, Lord Jesus, we don't want hyperinflation.
No.
This has already been painful enough, right?
Exactly. But there are all kinds of workarounds, for the most part, for hyperinflation, gold and silver being one of them. But just understanding what the problem is and telling the story of an Argentine survivor of the hyperinflation in the year 2000 there, about what life is like and how you have to readjust what your thoughts are about stuff and stuff being in stores and what costs are. I thought the hyperinflation episode was one of our best. Well, let's resume, shall
we? Yes, we shall. So the next question, I'll take this one, is from Pam, and she asked a great question. How has going keto changed our gardening? So
we're growing a lot fewer bread trees.
Yeah,
and no more pizza dough trees. We do not grow those anymore.
Flour tortilla trees.
Yeah.
So keto is typically low carb and low sugar. So we've quit growing the sugar. I'm joking.
The sugar beets that don't grow in Montana.
Exactly. Typically, there's a few high carb vegetables that are now more not in my importance factor. Those tend to be potatoes, corn, sometimes beans. Beans, I typically don't have a great luck with. I'd rather just go buy a couple of pounds of beans. Those are still, luckily, somewhat affordable. So it really, that's it. More than anything, it's caused me to up my desire to do more herbs. I've upped my herbs, I've upped my tomatoes, a lot more cabbages, because there's a lot of great things you can do with cabbage. Not going to do a ton of cauliflower because you can rice it and make kind of alternatives to...
Bleah.
Yeah, Glenn doesn't like it. We've tried it. And it really hasn't changed it a whole lot. I still focus on things. I'm trying to make it so I get like some pretty big bumper crops and things. And it's more, I'm not going to prioritize doing potatoes and corn at this point. I hope that answers that question.
We still have in our food preps that come from the store a lot of non-keto, high-carb things that we got in the past. And the reason for that is, not everybody is low carb. And if you've got people you're helping, people that you've taken in and they can eat rice, you know, go for it. And also, we're going to be having so much more activity in a disturbance of some kind that you're going to actually need the carbs more than you need them now. If you wake up and work in an office and come home and sit on the couch, you don't need very many carbs. Trust me, you're getting plenty already. But if you're chopping wood and walking around and doing stuff and carrying heavy things, you're going to need more carbs. So we're not suggesting you totally get rid of carbs.
Exactly.
I think Shelby's answer showed that. It's just kind of a little bit of tweaking, which is great. We have the ability to do. Steve Bragg asks a two-parter question. He says, number one, if you don't mind telling us, did you / the team purchase high-quality night vision gear like PVS 14s or better? And second of all, if so, did y'all do any night engagement training with it? What can you tell us about it? I'm not going to tell you anything about it is my answer to that. I will say this. Night vision is amazing.
It's a game changer.
Strap one on and see in the dark to appreciate how much of a game changer it is. You can't... Just sitting here, not having used it, you can't understand how important it is. It is cheating in a good way. And the folks that have night vision are going to do way, way better. And by the way, it doesn't need to be, because night vision is pretty expensive. PVS 14s off the top of my head are probably, I don't know, $3,000-$4,000. I'm sure now with Biden, they're more. That's what they were several years ago. Consider this. If one member of your team has night vision, he can spot stuff And it's kind of okay to have one person that has it, because I don't know how practical it is for 5 to 10 guys to all have night vision. I mean, if you got the money, then cool, but consider that. So night vision, hugely important. Details are being withheld.
All right. So Ray LeGrand asks, he's got the next question. Given the substantial assets often held by preppers, is it prudent for them to explore specific insurance coverage to protect their valuable stockpiles in case of unforeseen events? I'm going to say yes. When I think of substantial assets, I'm not just talking about, you know, the two freeze dryers. I'm talking about gold and firearms. What are your thoughts, Glenn?
Yes, it makes a ton of sense. And this is an example of a preparation that you're undertaking that doesn't presuppose the end of the rule of law or the end of the world as we know it. Because obviously, if you're talking about insurance, you would need to make a claim, which means there are still insurance companies, there are still ways to communicate to make the claim. And most importantly, there are still ways for your claim to be paid. You would be paid in cash, which could actually buy something. So the fact that you're talking about insurance means it's not an end of the world scenario, which I'm all for layering all kinds of preps and scenarios. So there's that. I don't know enough about typical homeowners insurance to know if it covers this stuff. So this is hazy, but I think it covers, you know, if you had a garage full of freeze-dried food, I think it would probably cover that. The question would be, what's the value? And so maybe if you, I don't know, kept receipts, maybe you don't need to do that. Maybe you could just say, hey, here's what the replacement cost would be. Guns are tricky. Under most homeowners insurance, you need to give them the serial number of all your firearms, which is fair because they need to make sure you didn't go, wow, I had $10,000 worth of guns and now I don't. And then they would say, hey, can you prove you had $10,000 worth of guns? No. So I have chosen not to provide an insurance company with the serial number of my firearms. And so consider that. But, you know, it would be fascinating if there were a prepper specific insurance system, but try to get as much coverage as you can from your homeowner's insurance. And by the way, I mentioned the example of the freeze-dried food. It's my understanding you do not need to give the insurance company a list of your inventory. That is to say, when I talk about serial numbers for guns, it is my understanding that providing an inventory of specific serial numbers is unique to the topic of guns. And so don't let the inventory issue preclude you, except on guns, which I think it's imprudent to give insurance companies a list of all the serial numbers of your firearms.
Yeah, especially when you keep hearing about companies that turn that over to people that shouldn't have it. So do you want to do the next one, Mr. Tate?
Sure. Looking at it for the first time, which is how we like to do this, because your answers are a lot fresher when you do that. Steelheart says, do you expect nationwide rolling brownout blackouts all of California, or will someone, government utilities, take actual steps to fix the power grid? My expectation is blackouts at some point with a higher prevalence in rural or conservative areas. How likely do you believe an Argentina style or Greek, Russian, etc. economic collapse is for the U.S. as a whole? If yes, years versus decades for a time estimate. Wow, there are several big topics there, which is why we love Patreon questions. Let me start off with brownouts and blackouts. Yes, I think that it is likely, especially in the summer. If Biden wins a second term, you can count on it, because they are, honest to God, this is not made up. They are actually talking, the Biden administration, about tearing out dams that provide completely carbon-free electricity and flood control. They're talking about tearing out dams, which will take away, especially in the Northwest where we are, a huge portion of the electrical generation.
Oh my gosh, I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. You and I were just at an event this last week where a woman said, yeah, we got our Generac, because they keep talking about taking out a dam. And, right, so a Generac being a home generator. Mm-hmm. So yeah, these are huge, and I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet. I think about our shows that we've done with our solar expert, Greg Engel, and surprised, because our electrical grid as it sits right now is very outdated, antiquated, and is not maintained well. And I'm surprised we haven't had it yet.
And even if, let's say there's a attack on the grid, even if your area is not part of the attack, that is to say the power is on where you are, you would probably have blackouts and brownouts because they would need to reduce consumption where you are to maybe send it over somewhere else if generation facilities were attacked. So I think it's going to be relatively common. I think we're going to look back at the days when we had uninterrupted supplies of electricity and say, wow, those were the good old days. So there's that. Now, you ask if someone in government is taking steps to fix the power grid. The answer is absolutely not. If anything, government, especially leftists, are trying to destroy the power grid. So there's no government solution.
And I think we've answered the part, how likely do you believe in an Argentina-style economic collapse for the U.S. as a whole? I think a huge, like, massive hyperinflation, you were just speaking about that. I do think right now, where we're at right now, with that inflation we have right now, the Biden-induced inflation right now, that is absolutely hamstringing and obliterating the middle class, is essentially costing the average household about an extra $1,100 to $1,200
a year.
A year, about $1,000 a month.
When you add in the increased mortgage prices.
I think it's going to take years to fix. And I think it's going to take, you know, somebody not a leftist socialist in our White House that keeps propagating and propping up these policies that have done this. And it's going to take years to undo it. What are your thoughts?
I think that in the next years or decades, the natural consequence of us spending way more money than we have and having to borrow it is going to come home to roost. And it may not be a sudden thing where you wake up and all of a sudden a cup of coffee is $92. That can happen. That's hyperinflation. It's happened elsewhere in the world in recent times. And so it is possible. I think you're going to just have years and decades of inflation like we have now. And of course, when they say it's 3%, it's really about 6%. They don't count food and energy in their inflation numbers. So as a rule of thumb, roughly double whatever the official inflation rate is, because that's what the real inflation rate is. And there's science and data that back up what I just said. I don't have time to go into it all. So I think you're going to have many, many years of that kind of inflation, maybe a little worse, maybe a little better at times. And so we're just going to have to plan around that, because there's no way to spend this kind of money and not have the currency debased. Because what's not going to happen, in my opinion, is America's going to wake up one day and say, you know what we need to do? We need to have a lot less government spending, because this inflation is really going to mess us up. There is one way on the positive side to get around all of this stuff, and that is to have a pro-business president and pro-business state legislatures that encourage business, and you have a boom of business, which creates tax money the legitimate way, which is more economic activity instead of raising tax rates. So you have more tax money coming in, and you simultaneously reduce the amount of debt by using the increased taxes to pay off the debt. Here's the challenge. When you've got tax money coming in like crazy because there's an economic boom, you don't spend it. So you simultaneously cut off spending or reduce it. You don't grow it. That's the bottom line. You don't grow spending, and you take the extra money and pay down the debt. I don't think there's any political will in this country to do that. And this is not just limited to the left. Let me put it that way.
So when I go back in my mind and I think historically about this, the last time before the shenanigans of the last 8 years with the control of who has the presidency, I think back to in 1980 when Ronald Reagan came into office.
Great analogy.
And turned around our economy like quickly. Why can't that happen now? I can tell you this right now, because the Democrats are not only the Democrat Party right now has been taken over by, and the numbers are there, not just Democrats, not just your moderate Democrats that are kind of, you know, your Kennedys. Think about Andrew Breitbart's famous words. The Democrats of today are not your mother's, you know, John F. Kennedy. The Democrats of today are pushing a socialist agenda. You know, we all know what that means. And they keep growing. Years and years ago, when I was a little girl, it would be unheard of to have someone like Ilhan Omar, who is in office. It would be unheard of to have Talita, whatever her name is, Tlaib, in office.
Rashida Tlaib.
Sorry, my bad. And it would be galling and it would not be permitted. And yet here we are. And that keeps growing, that base of the Democrat Party. So it's not like they're going to go away. They're staying and they're agitators, and they won't ever let us have that 4 to 8 years we need to recover from this that Reagan had.
There's a second reason why the Reagan analogy is so apt. And that is what Reagan did was to get control of inflation, which was about as bad as it is now under Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter and Biden are sort of tied for who's the worst president in a lot of ways. What Reagan did was he allowed the Federal Reserve to make the prime interest rate, you know, 15, 16, 17%, which dried up the money supply, which really fought inflation. It was a very quick way to keep inflation under control. The problem is you had mortgages, no kidding, of 20%. If you want to go back and you watch Ghostbusters from the early 80s, one of the characters is bragging about his mortgage, and it was not comedy. It was actual dialogue about his mortgage is only 17%. So why couldn't you do that now? Because we have borrowed so much money. If we had to pay, if the federal government, which is really us, had to pay 15% interest on money that's loaned to us by, say, China, the interest, we wouldn't even have a government anymore. It would all be set aside for paying interest. So there's another reason we can't just do some quick and easy Reagan thing. That only worked when we had a very small national debt. And so when I say grow out of stuff, I don't mean grow out of it by increasing interest rates to double digits. I mean having robust entrepreneurship and letting people keep more of their own money and all of that. But hey, this is not the economy show. Let's go to Richard in Wisconsin.
So don't mean to read it?
Go ahead.
Okay. He asked, during the Obama era, prepping took off into panic mode with books, podcasts, YouTube channels, guns, ammo, and survival gear becoming a thriving industry. Once Trump was elected, that industry relaxed and collapsed. I might disagree with you a little bit there, but I get what you're saying. The mood during the present day office holders' reign is different from those. One of the expectations that something very big and ominous is going to happen. Note, some of the last several episodes from the YouTube channel City Prepper, for example. Throughout history, there was always a sense that we were on the, quote, eve of destruction, end quote. Considering all the contributing factors to this sentiment today, are we really on the precipice of something major, yes or no, or haha? Have we answered this, or what are your thoughts?
That's kind of hard. I'm going to say no. I don't think we are on the precipice of something really major. The caveat to that is the Chinese could take down our electrical grid tomorrow and you'll never hear this episode because there won't be any electricity for you to hear it. So there's that. Yes, bad things can happen. And I'm going to say the word feel, which is unusual for me because I try to keep emotions out of things, especially when it comes to really important things like trying to figure out how to live and how not to die. I try to take emotion out of it because I think that's a good move. But I will say, emotionally, I feel like things are more under control than they were in 2020. I keep coming back to that. That was a really big year for like off the rails craziness. We'd never seen that kind of stuff before. It was all new to us. And again, we lived in Washington State, which didn't help. So no, I don't think we're on the precipice of something really major. You mentioned the Obama era. I can tell you that that's when I started prepping. I remember thinking, in 2008 at the election night, I remember thinking the people in this country just elected an obvious socialist. Mm-hmm. I have to be ready for some big changes in this country.
Absolutely.
So there was that. So yes.
And I think if I can just add this, when you said that when Trump came into office, that industry relaxed and collapsed, I would say it relaxed. And we've talked about that before. I wouldn't say it collapsed. I think about 2 years into Trump's administration, people realized, he may not be here for another 4 years and we need to keep the foot on the gas. So I don't know. Yeah. Here's the thing. Don't prep according to who's in office.
Right.
Period. End of story. Yeah. So the next question comes from Roy W. He asks, and this is interesting, have you ever considered exploring the prepping scene east of the Mississippi River, such as attending prepper camp in North Carolina? Can I go first?
Yes.
We have considered it.
Yes.
There's two problems.
Yes.
We have jobs.
Yes.
And we priced going to the Carolinas, actually, last summer. wow, that, remember that Bidenflation we were talking about? Holy crud, that was, we couldn't do it.
Well, and who's going to take care of the chickens and other stuff like that? So people need to understand, and I hope I'm not raining on anyone's parade. We have not only day jobs, we have very intense, busy day jobs, and we have a million other things going on. Plus, we like to spend time with each other and have like normal lives. And so we are not prepping personalities full time. That's just not it. I mean, I know I'm like bursting some bubbles maybe out there, but you guys probably who have listened to the show know that that is true. It's not all that we do. It's a big part of our lives, and we love doing it, and we love giving information out and hopefully motivating you and hopefully entertaining you, but it is not everything we do. And going to things in North Carolina, it's just not practical. I hear great things about Prepper Camp in North Carolina.
Oh my gosh.
Would love to go.
Oh my gosh.
But we're always saying things like when we retire, and then we chuckle because it's never going to happen.
Right.
Thanks, Biden.
But and we've joked about it. And as many of you know, I have family ties there. I would love to go there. But we considered it last summer and then went, whoa, Nelly. Yeah, the cost of that is a little too much out of our price range right now. So we have probably time for this last one here, which is a good one to end on. So Matt Williams asked, and I'm going to let you answer and see what you think. What have you found to be, this is an interesting question, I'm just going to keep saying this. What have you found to be the most difficult aspect of being two people who influence the way others around the country and likely the globe prep?
I'm stunned to hear someone say that that's the impact we have, because she and I just kind of, we're just like these people. And once a week we go into our little makeshift homemade studio and we talk in microphones and we answer questions. We have guests. We do fun stuff. We like to be funny.
We do prep though.
We don't walk around thinking we're having an impact on people. Now I know we're having an impact on people because I get emails and Patreon posts, and there have been some amazingly positive impacts we've had on people's lives. It's stunning and humbling, and you all were able to pay us back, by the way, by so many of you praying for me when I was on the COVID ventilator with an 80% death rate, and I made it through. The fact that you're listening to me proves that that is true, and so we appreciate that, but we don't ever think about it. I mean, I guess... Now that I think about it, that's a weird turn of phrase.
This is
what happens.
When you think it out loud, go ahead.
Yeah, when I think it out loud, we are very careful about what we say, but we don't sit around and think about, gee, we need to be careful. We're just careful because we don't want to lead any single person astray or give bad advice, because it would be so easy and ratings would go up and revenue would go up for us to say, there's going to be a civil war tomorrow. And we're just not going to do that because we don't believe that. So we take our role, I guess. I'm stumbling into that conclusion. Yes, we take our role seriously, but sort of at a subconscious level where we're just being like a normal human being. Like, you wouldn't want somebody to be led astray. And it's just something you don't do. It's not like a big plan. Does that make sense?
It does. And I will say this, if this helps this, I take it very seriously, our role in the prepping universe. The reason being is that I do not want to lead anyone astray. I don't want to cause somebody to go down a path, spend a ton of money, waste a bunch of time that is needless. That's why we're very careful in how we say things. But like what Glenn says, we take what we do very seriously, but we also lead these other lives and we step out of it. And that's where we spend the majority of our time. So when people know both of our personalities, the Glenn and Shelby side, and they know that
the real name side,
they're like, wow, you're just kind of normal people.
You're just like, we've actually had a fan say that. You're just like it. So I think we need to wrap it up.
We do. And so we're going to take this into the after show, folks. Don't go away. And we might even like add some more thoughts to Matt's questions. But as always, from Benjamin Franklin, don't forget, of course, failing to prepare is preparing to fail. Have a great week, everyone.
See ya.
You've been listening to Prepping 2.0 with authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher. All the information you've heard today, including all our previous shows, is online at prepping2-0.com. Find out more about Glenn's books at 299days.com and Shelby's books at agreatstate.com. Learn about the latest book they authored together at foodpreps2-0.com. Until next time, be smart, be safe, and be prepared.